With Montana News, I'm Cole Grant. Montana's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate soared to 11.3% in April, when the state was under a stay-at-home order to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Total employment, which includes payroll, agricultural, and self-employed workers, decreased by nearly 56,000 jobs in April. It was the highest unemployment rate since 8.8% of the state's workers were out of a job during a recession in early 1983. Montana's unemployment records go back to 1976. State labor officials note nearly 18,000 Montanans have returned to work since retailers were allowed to reopen in late April. The governor has announced that Montana will begin its second phase of economic reopening on June 1st. That includes the possibility of increased capacity in bars and restaurants and the lifting of a 14-day quarantine for out-of-state visitors. The state announced no new cases of COVID-19 Friday from among more than 1,000 tests run on Thursday. A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit from a coalition of states, environmental groups, and American Indians that sought to revive an Obama-era moratorium against U.S. government coal sales on public lands in the West. U.S. District Judge Brian Morris said President Donald Trump's administration had fixed its initial failure to consider the environmental impacts of ending the moratorium. Opponents of the leasing program included the Democratic Attorneys General of California, New York, New Mexico, and Washington State. The mining industry and two coal states, Wyoming and Montana, joined the case on the side of the federal government. Several days after Yellowstone National Park reopened its two Wyoming entrances to visitors, the park lifted the gates at its north and northeastern Montana entrances for through traffic only. Rachel Kramer with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports it may provide relief for some business owners during Memorial Day weekend.
While Yellowstone's entrances at Gardner and Cook City Silver Gate remain closed to visitors, cars this week were allowed through to reach the remote towns that rely on summer tourism. People are not allowed to stop and recreate in the park on their way to the gateway communities. Those who do may be cited.
I was a little worried about the park being closed because people couldn't get here.
That's Scott Denniston, owner of Beartooth Cafe in Cook City. Denniston says he reopens his seasonal business each year on the Friday before Memorial Day. Despite the uncertainty brought on by COVID-19, Denniston says he decided to hope for the best and stick to his planned reopening date.
We just had quite a few tables come in just between 12 and 1. So, I mean, about standard for this time of year.
Denniston says he has a positive outlook for the months ahead, but he says he may have to cut back on employees if the cafe doesn't get its normal summer traffic. Some businesses, like the Elkhorn Lodge, will remain closed until Yellowstone allows visitation in the northern part of the park. Yellowstone officials say they are working with Montana Governor Steve Bullock to determine when that might be. Bullock has said he wouldn't consider reopening until June 1st. While Wyoming recently lifted a two-week self-quarantine order for out-of-state visitors, Montana's traveler restrictions remain in effect until June 1st, when the state is slated to move into phase two of the governor's reopening plan. After a two-month closure due to COVID-19, Yellowstone reopened its two Wyoming entrances on May 18th for day use only. Visitation has been limited to the southern loop of the park. A Yellowstone press release Thursday said the traffic volume during the first 3 days of the partial reopening was less than 20% of the normal volume this time of year. Park Superintendent Cam Shawley said in the press release he expects visitation to go up significantly in the coming weeks. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Montana is requiring operators at a copper mine to post a $4.6 million bond before construction can begin. The Independent Record reports that the State Department of Environmental Quality on Wednesday announced the bond calculation for the first phase of the Black Butte Copper Project after Sandfire Resources America acquired an operating permit. A company official said Sandfire will post the bond for the first phase and begin surface construction in June. Sandfire officials say the estimated total bonding for the Black Butte Copper Project has not yet been released, but it is expected to operate for 13 years. The Great Falls Tribune has announced it is closing its print shop, and the newspaper will be printed in Helena beginning in July. The move means 21 people will lose their jobs. Tribune editor Grady Higgins says the change does not impact newsroom or advertising jobs. The Tribune, which is owned by Gannett, has a contract with the Lee Enterprises-owned Independent Record to provide print production for its products. The Independent Record print shop also prints the Montana Standard, the daily newspaper in Butte. Aquatic insects living at high elevations in Glacier National Park may be more resilient to impacts brought by climate change than once thought, according to a recent study. But MTPR's Aaron Bolton reports various species populations are still expected to decline and potentially go extinct.
U.S. Geological Survey research aquatic ecologist Clint Mulfield and his team examined data dating back to the Little Ice Age in 1850, showing that glacial mass has declined 73% around Glacier National Park. That's leading to a decline in suitable habitat for rare insects, including the West Glacier and meltwater Lednian stoneflies. Researchers at the USGS have been collecting data over the past 10 years on these species, some of which only live around Glacier. They were once thought to be dependent on the streams created from glacial meltwater, but Mulfield's team's latest findings show these species also live in cold water streams fed by snowfields and underground springs.
And so they were found in areas that didn't have glaciers at the end of the last Little Ice Age. They were found in areas that glaciers have disappeared since the last Little Ice Age. And they were also found in areas that where glaciers have greatly diminished.
That means they have more habitat options than previously thought, which is good news. But Mulfield says these insects are still expected to lose up to 80% of their habitat by the end of the century. He says this family of insects is likely the canary in the coal mine for the impacts climate change will bring to mountain ecosystems in the northern Rocky Mountains. But Mulfield says there's a lot we don't know about their functions in the larger ecosystem, and in turn, the impact their decline will have.
What are the consequences of some of these changes in terms of, you know, extirpations of species on nutrient cycling and food for higher organisms like fish or even birds?
Those are questions Mulfield hopes future studies will answer. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.